Well, for some reason, Simon's gone green. Ben's dancing. It is 2025. Oh my God, should we not be living on the moon or something by now? But welcome to another year of the Shut Up and Ride podcast. Sponsored still. They are still with us because they are wonderful. And they're getting me a new hat when I come back to England next week. Charles Owen. We love you, Charles Owen. I'm so excited. I'm literally hat shopping. That's going to make me very excited. But anyway, hello. I digress. Simi, Benji, we were meant to record this ages ago, but Benji was sick. So I'm going to start with you, Benji. Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I'm feeling better. I think the new year just killed me off, new year and Christmas, and not in a fun way either. Like, not that I didn't have fun, but, you know, just in that, like, all your friends and family are like, let's do all of these marvelous things. And then you just kind of have to break your neck and your back still looking after horses in frozen temperatures around it all. And actually, if I'm completely honest, I think one of the reasons I was ill was I had my first like dad panic. Like,
oh no!
Because George, we're getting closer and closer to like go time, and George did like a really offhand comment before going to bed of like, "You're gonna be on top form, aren't you?" Like when I'm in labor, like you're going to be present. You're going to do that thing where you get distracted and you're going to be like, look, doing an email or something.
On Instagram, posting about himself dancing.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, no, I'm going to be there. And then I was like, and then she went to bed and I'm sat there thinking, is she worried that I'm not going to be present? What should I be doing?
So and then you start questioning yourself.
Yeah. So then I'm up all night, like looking at things online and being like, what should I be looking for? What are my jobs as a father in that moment? And then just didn't sleep, and I think that is actually what put the final nail in the coffin to flick me over the edge. But
and
I feel
that,
much
and that
now.
Is the reason that is the reason why you're going to be really good as being a dad, because you're worrying about it now.
But would you like to know what my main thing I found out for the labor is my thing?
Oh,
as
God,
a dad,
right. As someone who's had two children, I cannot wait to hear this,
right? So this coming week, me and George have got her like midwife appointment to do the birth plan, even though everybody has told me you may as well not do it because the plan will change. I have to just get everything she wants. If it's like, I want these drugs, I don't want those, I'm fine with these procedures, I'd rather avoid these. And it's my job to remember all of that and enforce it to the medical staff if she's like out of it or confused and stuff. So my job is basically to make sure that her wishes come true within medical possibility.
And did Gregor do that for you, Jenny?
Well, no. Should we talk through Gregor's plan? So, but neither of my births went. I didn't really have a plan. I was like, get them out of me. I don't really. I'm not. I had 7 miscarriages, you have to remember. So for me, I wanted to be surrounded by every type of medical advice person that could happen. Giving birth at home was not a fucking option. I was like, I need to know that when that child comes out of me, at least 10 people know more than I do. So we were in hospital and I had to have my waters had broken, but they were leaking, so we didn't really know. So they were like,
what
we don't
does that mean?
I know, right? Shit, no one tells you.
I thought the concept of waters breaking included major leaking.
No, so they can just kind of drip if there's a little burst. They can just kind of drip, but you don't really even know about it. Like, and I went in going, I don't really know what's going on downstairs. I won't share too many details. They basically test the fluid that's coming out of you, and they're like, that's amniotic fluid. We don't know. And if the sac's broken, infection can get into the baby. So they were like, this child's got to come out of you. You're nowhere near going into labor, so we're going to induce you. And there's lots of different ways of inducing. There's like pessaries, that didn't work. So then basically they put a drip in you, which is like basically putting rocket fuel into you. And if she has that, get an epidural before they do it, because then it's like turbo labor. It's like labor on steroids. It's fucking horrendous. Didn't help that my child was back to back and trying to come out sideways pretty much. And yeah, it's horrific. The pain is horrific. My epidural.
Was that both of them, or which
yeah,
one was
both
that?
Of them.
Both of them. They wanted to just shimmy out, not just come out.
With James, my epidural didn't work. And what they called anaesthetist came back in and he was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm used to putting them in fat people in Swindon.
I mean, that is a compliment.
I know. That is actually the words that came out of his mouth. I can't sugarcoat it.
So politically correct.
Yeah.
Look at Jen, Beachbody ready on birthday.
I wasn't quite in the mood to take it as a compliment, as he'd put it in too far. So he'd numbed only slightly one side of me, which was exaggerating the pain on the other side. Yeah. Anyway, so during this time, as I'm screaming, you're a gym bunny, Ben, and I know you go to the gym, Simon. You know the guy who stands behind you when you're trying to push weights? Is it called spotting?
Yeah.
Basically, Gregor was trying to do that. And he was like, push, 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 push. Yeah, good, good. Yeah, push, push, push. And basically, it felt like he was spotting me in the gym, not being loving and holding my hand.
And how did you react to that?
Divorce was close. The worst bit was if I was
married to a woman and they were having my baby, I think if it was you, Jenny, I would be scared. I would be scared ahead of the giving birth process, personally.
Honestly, I think you get... And then, do you know what really pissed me off? Is because they thought I was probably going to end up in a C-section, which I didn't. I was like, no, I've gone this far. That child is coming out down there. You've already damaged it. It's coming out. So then I was just, I can't believe we're talking about this on the, people are going to be like, horse podcast, what's going on? So then they said to me, I wasn't allowed to eat because in case they needed to put me under. So I'm there like, the epidural starts working, which gives you a bit of a breather from the pain. The epidural starts working. I'm like, all I want. And Greg has given me a cup of ice. For fuck's sake. All I wanted was a G&T at this point. And there he is. And then he went down to Costa Coffee, got himself a giant coffee and a donut and some watermelon and was there just munching away in front of me as I'm there like starving. I've been in labor for 30 hours at this point and they've told me I'm not allowed to eat. And he thinks it's okay to just sit there smash. He could have eaten it in the corridor and hidden it from me. He's there sitting on like, and he at the time he's going, oh, this chair reclines. This is fun, isn't it? I could sleep here tonight. I'm like, are you actually kidding me?
Do you know that Mark Atkinson took a hamper?
For himself?
Because my dad gets notoriously hangry. And so he took a proper, like, you know, like wicker basket, leather straps, like hamper into the labour room. And my mum said it wouldn't have annoyed her if when she'd finished and was like, oh, I'm starving. He was like, oh, I'm sorry, I've eaten it all.
That is brilliant.
Classic. That's classic.
Classic Mark.
The other thing Gregor did is I had quite a lot of stitches down there. And the two nights later, I was lying in bed on my side and he kneed me in the stitches in his sleep.
Oh, yeah.
So don't do that either. Maybe get a pillow between you and George if that's the case. But can I give you one tip? Okay.
Okay.
This is what we did. No, this is not a funny one. This is a serious one. I think this is a really good bit of advice. You being hot is not going to pull rank when it comes to midwives. They are a special breed of woman and they can tell if someone's a good human or not. They are like, midwives are like angels sent from heaven. I truly believe this. These women work long shifts, work so hard. Like I get so emotional about them. Because they're honestly these incredible women. So what you need to do is take a pack of thank you cards ready to the hospital so you can write it and like a box of chocolates or something so that then as you go to leave you don't have to run out because you'll meet a midwife that will say something to you that you will stay with you forever or someone that will help you through a difficult moment and you'll want to thank them but the moment you leave that hospital you won't have time to do it. The woman who helped me through Delilah's birth because it was horrific is a horse rider and I got Gregor to write down her address and Ariat had given me loads of free clothing and I sent her a free jacket. But I know it sounds really silly, but in that moment in time, you will feel so much love. It might just be one of them. It might be a load of them. But if you've got a little pack of thank you cards or some chocolates or something just thrown into the bag, you can then just do it there and then and thank them because people always want to do it, but they never remember to go back because you've suddenly got to keep a human alive and you're busy. But I just think that's something I did with both mine.
That's so amazing. And if by any chance you're a midwife listening to this, we think you're amazing.
Yeah, they really are. We're still, so my midwife for Delilah, so you have a midwife that sees you all the way through and then different midwives that birth the child if you go to the hospital and not to a birthing centre. But my midwife that saw me through James and Delilah's pregnancies was on the phone while I was giving birth. Her daughter lives in Vancouver now, moved out here in April.
No way.
We're still friends with her. She's coming back out in February. She was staying with me last February. She's called Carol. And she, we're still really good friends with her. 7 years on.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
I know, right?
George's first midwife appointment, she went in and she was like, hi, yeah, Georgie Atkinson. Okay, what's your husband's name or your partner's name? Benjamin Atkinson. And the lady stopped and went, with the horses. And so she was like, yeah, Ben with the horses does a show. So they started talking about that. And then the next thing she said was, okay, so the jumpy in the air thing you do on that white horse, no more of that until the baby's out. Meaning when George rides the Capriole on Sebastian, yeah. She was like, yeah, no more jumpy in the air stuff on horses until the baby's out.
But, that's so
really
cool.
Sweet. I love that.
No, my midwife said to me, oh, I did someone horsey. She won a gold medal at the Olympics, Laura Tomlinson. I was like, oh, good. So you've seen both our vaginas. Great. Thanks. Anyway. Oh. But yes, so I'm sorry you're stressed about it, but I genuinely mean this. Even if it's stupid o'clock in the morning, you can always ring me. I'm always here. I've been there, done it, got the t-shirt. I know how stressful it is.
I'm not stressed like that. I think it's a little bit like that same, it's that excited stress. Do you know when we talked about it in terms of like when like competing or anything with horses, like a big day? And it's not stressed like I'm not looking forward to it. It's stressed like I need to do well on this day. How can I prepare?
It's also the unknown, though, isn't it? Like you really don't know what to expect. I mean, I know you do to a point, but like you don't really know what to expect. And so, like, it's good to be nervous about it, though, because it means that you're going to like do a good job.
Oh, and you know, you can't take them home unless you prove you've got a safe car seat.
I will tag you in the morning. I have the car seat in the car. I have the mirror.
Have you got it
so
in?
The car seat's in. The mirror so I can look at the car seat from my rearview mirror is in. The bag for George is packed. It's in the car. Thunderbirds are go. We are ready.
I guarantee.
Ready.
Have you bought Anusol? Don't get those pad things. Get
She's got everything. She's had various, what George got for Christmas from various different family members who've recently had children was all the things they wish they'd had.
Amazing. Trust me. She will love you if you pack some Lucozade Sport. Unbelievable.
My dad says she won't love me. That is.
That's a given, isn't it? That she's not going to love you at that stage.
Wisdom from Mark Atkinson. They love you when you're putting it in. They hate you when it's coming out.
Yeah.
What's the other one? It's don't go near the action end. It's like watching your favourite pub burn down. They can rebuild it, but it'll never be the same again.
Stay topside. But yeah, so that's going to be the start of our 2025. Apart from, you said at the start that we look like we're living on the moon, like we should be living on the moon. And I think it feels a little bit like that in the cold, desolate wasteland that is England. Actually, I'm saying that and you live in Canada, so I'm actually backtracking a little bit here.
My new favourite game, do you know what my new favourite game is, Ben? Is sending pictures of me skiing to Simon because I know how jealous he gets. Because it's my way of going, you bastards, you get to ride horses all the time. I'm like, ha ha, the one thing that I know Simon wants to do, I'm going to send him videos of my kids jumping ski stuff.
And they are really good. The kids are really good. They're going to be epic. When they're old, you're going to be left standing.
I know. Well, I already am. I can't keep up the little buggers. It's funny.
They literally have no fear, kids at that age. So they're like, off they go down that slope and bang. Oh, whoops, I fell over. Get back up again. Off we go. It's a bit like riding horses, isn't it, I suppose? When you learn when you're a kid, you kind of, that's the best way of doing it, isn't it?
So this is my new favourite thing. Yeah.
I stand by that massively. I would hate to have to learn to Roman ride, which is when I stand on the horses now. Mm. Like, I'm so glad. I started doing that when I was about 8 or 9. And so I'm so pleased I did it then because it never even scared me then. Whereas now, if I'd never done it and someone said, stand on these horses, it would terrify
me. Whoa, that is not for me.
Well, prime example, we've skied twice this year. And the second time we went out, we went over to Blackcomb Mountain instead of Whistler Mountain. They're in the same place, but you can get different gondolas. And we know Whistler well. We went out, no visibility, down a green run. But for me, it was a really steep green run. And I think I got a hot flush. And I just had a fucking meltdown. And I was like, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. You don't help me, Gregor. I started screaming at Gregor. Mountain Patrol pulled over to see if I was okay. I was just like having this absolute, I've shat myself meltdown. And I just turned around to Gregor and I said, you've got to think of it like this. Because I was the one who got all the stuff ready and got the kids ready and did everything. And I was just like, you just need to help me because I don't know how to ski. And I turned around and I said, How would you feel if I told you tomorrow to go down to the yard, tack up and go riding, and by the end of the day, you've got to jump something? Because people keep saying, oh, you'll be on a black run in no time. I'm 44 learning to bloody ski. I don't want to go down a black run. And I said, if I told you to go and tack up, get everything ready, get the kids on and go and teach them to ride, how would you cope? And he was like, that would terrify me. I'm like, now you know how I feel.
So Greg is a really experienced skier then?
Yes. He was born in the Highlands of Scotland. So he skied in Avermore up there in the Cairngorms. I pronounced that wrong. So yes, he's excellent. It is quite sexy though. Someone being good at something, I have to say, it might save our marriage watching him ski though.
I was going to say, we've not heard very many positives about Gregor in this this podcast so far. So let's find some. So he's a good skier and that's sexy. So that's great. That's a good start.
I could tell you some positive things about him, but this is an X-rated podcast, so I'm not going to go there, Simi.
He makes up for it so well.
He does. He really does. Anyway, so we found out that Ben's having a slightly pre-baby nervous breakdown, which is causing him to vomit and be ill. I feel like I've summarised that well, Ben. Simon, you rang me. Come on, we're not just sharing the good here. You're tired, aren't you, Simi? You're a tired Simi.
Simi is tired. Simi has done his usual, which is I don't know whether you're this, Ben, but I am a yes man. And I say yes to lots and lots of things. And and at the moment, January is, I mean, it's slightly, I hate it when people say this because it makes me feel like I'm being really pathetic, but it is really quite overwhelming, the amount of stuff I've actually got to do. And I'm better now. And I feel like I'm a little bit more prepared about stuff, but I do things like I'm going off teaching in Ireland and like, I'm not complaining, but like, I've got 2 days of teaching in Ireland, Saturday, Sunday, and the lady that organises it, she was like, so we're fully booked for those 2 days. And we actually have a wait list of 10. Is there any chance, do you think maybe you could come on the Friday as well? And I'm like, yeah. And then afterwards, I'm like, no, like, Simon, come on. Like, that's 3 full days away from the yard and the horses and stuff. And then, it's okay, because maybe I can ride some horses before I leave on the Friday morning. If I go really, if I start riding at 5 a.m, then I can get the flight, and then I can teach in the afternoon.
Tell Ben about your, before you even got to a clinic the other day, what you'd achieved by 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. So I'm doing my BHSI, and I've done the coaching side. But I have to now do the stable management. So I went to go and see Gillian Higgins, who is incredible. She's of Horses Inside Out. That where she paints the side of the horses with their kind of anatomy. So I went there, and it was amazing. But I got there at 9:15, and Caroline Moore, who's a really good mate of mine, was there as well. She was like helping, and Jeanette Brakewell as well, the event rider. And I got there at 9:15, ready for the 9:30 start. And I was like, God, I feel like really good about myself this morning, because I've driven to the yard, which takes me 50 minutes. I've ridden 5 horses. I've entered 7 horses for a show. I've paid my rent for the yard. I've also paid my rent for the girls' accommodation. And yeah, so I'm feeling quite good. And now I'm here and I'm early. And they're like, you've really done that before 9:15 in the morning? I was like, yeah, that's quite cool, isn't it?
How did you 15 or 50 minutes to the yard?
It takes me 50.
50,
yeah. Well,
I know this, Ben, because that's when he chooses to call me, and I have exactly 50 minutes of Simi time most days.
Oh my goodness. I can't imagine being, I currently live like 15 minutes from the yard, and I find that a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very, very lucky because Maggie's on the yard, so she keeps an eye on everything, and which is brilliant. But yeah, it's 50 minutes, and like on an event day, it just doesn't work very well. So I normally stay in the lorry, to be honest.
Yeah, 5 horses by that is some turbo power.
Yeah, I was quite impressed with myself that morning.
How are you feeling by lunchtime?
Yeah, fine. But I'm kind of used to it.
So, yeah, but then you get to this point and you go, oh, I'm really tired.
Yeah. And I was saying earlier, my really, really good mate, Matt, who actually is my ex-boyfriend, but we're now really, really good mates. Whenever I speak to him, I always say, he's like, how are you? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm just really tired. And he's always like, you always say you're tired. Shut up.
Yeah, well, that's why you're an ex, Matt. Be supportive. Come on.
Oh, very good. Very good.
I don't know you, but you're lovely.
He is amazing. He's amazing. Great bloke. I know Matt. You're sorry?
I've met Matt, haven't I? He's been in my house.
Yeah, you know yes. Matt. Yeah, Matt. Yeah. Matt helps train the Japanese team, and my goodness, didn't they do well last year? So yeah, he's a seriously talented bloke. We should get him on here. Actually, he's great fun.
Does he listen to the podcast? That's the question.
Of course. I've no
idea. Well, in that case, you're lovely, Matt. Hi, love you. Oh,
he's
right.
Definitely not. He's less interested in my YouTube channel.
We have to discuss the YouTube channel, by the way, because I love you with every part of my being. You are genuinely.
There's a
just...
big but coming, isn't there?
This means she's gonna be horrible.
Sense.
No, and I actually think your YouTube channel is brilliant. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm very supportive of it. I think it's a brilliant idea. You've rung me lots, but it is just the idea of 40-year-old man. 42-year-old man. Sorry, I was trying to be nice. 42-year-old man saying, do you know what? I'm just going to record my vlog today. Yes. I'm just vlogging.
I'm just vlogging. Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Vlogging. I don't know what it is about the word vlogging that kind of gives me the ick.
Jenny wants to come up with a different word for the word vlogging.
I think there should be a middle-aged term for people who make content. Like...
I'm filming for my YouTube channel.
Yes,
exactly.
I'm videoing myself for my YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'm recording myself.
Videoing oneself seems a little bit suspect, if I'm honest. I don't know why. I'm just going to video myself. That sounds unsolicited.
I'm going to video myself in a very appropriate way.
Now we know why James loves him.
But I've got mad respect for you for doing the YouTube channel thing, because I've bought all the equipment to do it. I've got the camera, I've got the like sound equipment, my little mics and everything.
You see, I don't have any of that. I don't know.
How on earth do you find the time? And then all the things.
You see, I've thought about this, Ben. So when I do my Instagram and stuff, I like, and Jenny hates this. I know that she hates this. I'll be like,
hi guys.
Morning guys, hi. How are you all doing? I hope you're having a really good day. I'm just riding now, and then I'm gonna do a bit of teaching later. Da, da, da. So I'm kind of videoing myself in an appropriate way. Anyway. So I kind of figured, well, if I do that, and then I also, like, when I go for lessons, when I go show jumping, anything that I do with the horses, it's normally filmed, like, because I'll send it to the owners or whatever. So, like, why not just do that as well? And then, like, I'm not doing any more than what I would normally do. And I've got somebody that's doing the editing. So it's kind of...
It's, no, that makes sense.
And it makes it more natural as well, like doing it like that. Because I think if I try too hard, then it's going to end up being a bit like, hello, I'm Simon Grieve, and I am on YouTube.
Do you ever think, though, that like sometimes I'd be, when I'm having a day on the yard, and the times where I'd be thinking, the last thing I would want right now is someone filming me because I am having a bad day or a stressful day. But then when you kind of move past it and you've got home, you're like, actually, that would have been the best content to put out in the world. Like me losing my shit because we've arrived at the show and someone's not packed the right rugs or the right buckets or whatever, or this horse has gone lame and I'm having a like proper nervy bee. And at the time you'd be like, I don't want to be filmed, but you're like, actually, this is what we need.
Yeah. No, that is true. That is true. I mean, I am quite like, I'm not lying when I say this, but as a general rule, I'm pretty good at staying positive about most things, even if it's all going horribly wrong. But yeah, like there's the odd time when I remember when I did badminton really badly one year. Yeah, I did badminton really. I kind of got to about halfway, and then like we had a run out, and the horse didn't feel quite right, so I kind of like I stopped. But I'd also been running like a bit of a moron, I thought, or I felt that I had. And then I was walking back, and I remember seeing my mum. She was the first person that I saw. Mum couldn't get into the stables because there weren't enough passes. And she was waiting at the house for me, and she's like, oh, I'm glad I've caught you because I know what you're thinking right now. You're saying to yourself that you're no good and you're not good enough and that you're really rubbish, and you really are, and you mustn't think like that. And I was like, Mum, you've just said exactly what I'm thinking. I'm really rubbish and I shouldn't be doing this. And that is what should be filmed.
Yes, the moment, yes. Kind of like the pep talks.
Yeah, exactly. But Mum was just incredible, like there, like it was. She was like, I needed to make sure I found you, and that I was the first person to find you to just make sure that you're not thinking that, because I know that you will be. And I was like, yeah, I am.
So that, all right, this I want to ask a question. So just before we got onto this, like started recording this, a friend of mine sent me a message on Instagram, my mate Sarah, and she said randomly, she was like, I've got a question for you. What's your definition of success?
Oh, is that just in life or in competition or in general?
Well, this is it. I said to her, I was like, what does this mean? And she was like, no, that you don't get that. What is your definition? Like, for you, what is your definition of success? So I said, to me, it is being proud of myself that I'm doing my best in the things I've decided to sort of dedicate myself to, because I can't control the outcomes. So the success comes from the effort that's put in, not what happens at the end. But I thought it's a brilliant question, isn't it?
It's a really good question. I love that. I can't remember which actor it was. Is it McConaughey, whatever his name is.
Matthew McConaughey. Yeah.
And he said there are two people that you need to make proud in your life. One of them is 8-year-old you, and one of them is 90-year-old you. Like, you want to make those proud, because whoever it was when you're eight, you like had all these plans to do, and when you're 90, you look back on life and you think, oh God, did I do the right stuff? I think that's really cool. And I mean, I don't know, that's kind of moves away from success, but like,
I know what you mean. It's all tied in, isn't it? I think for me, and this is like, so I wasn't feeling very well this morning and ended up chundering into a bush outside the school gates, hence the tons of makeup. Actually, I look better than I normally do on the pod. But my son turned around to me and was like, Mummy, get back in the car, get yourself home. I'll take Delilah down. I'll look after her. That to me was just like, I've made a good human. Like, yeah. When your kids do stuff like that, that to me is a level of, I don't know, does that sound really weird that that's what I would
Simon,
deem as success?
Simon, do you think that that's just a child whose mother's hung over a lot? Not again, Delilah. It's fine, Mum. You're over the limit. Drive home.
Mummy, drink some water.
Right, how is it you're sick and we're all sympathetic? I'm sick. I carry on. You, can I say, we were meant to record this podcast on Wednesday. You were sick. We cancelled. I've been thrown up all morning. We're still here. There you go, Benjamin.
Yeah, that's because you're like, get sick, it's like, get me a Red Bull and a cup of ambition. When I get sick, I'm like, someone bring me a doctor and a priest. Like, that's a difference, isn't it?
Yes, but I think I was trying to be profound then, but you just shat all over my success story.
No, I think that actually is amazing. Like, because like you say, if you're that responsibility, and not you asking him to take responsibility, him seeing a situation and going, do you know what? No, Mum. I'll help you out. I'll take something off your plate. And that is amazing. Because
it's like, for me, I don't ever, I think with my work or whatever, like, people say to me, especially after we recorded that podcast about stuff that I've done, people are like, oh my God, your life. And like, you've just done so much. And I never think of my life like that. I always think like, my God, I'm just never going to be as good as Claire Balding, or I've not covered the cricket, or do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I've not really achieved very much at all and want to do so much more. So I don't think in Europe I would never deem work as a success. I don't think I'll ever get that, because I don't ever think of myself as successful. So I think if I can just make my kids nice, that'll make me feel like I've done something successful.
But do you not think part of that's because the people who we would put on a pedestal as successful, like, idol is a strong word, but people that you would like, you know, like to emulate the lifestyle of or the career of, like, we only see their highlights. Like, not to be, you know, throw that, like, Instagram's a highlight reel or whatever, but you know, you don't see like other people regrouting their bathroom or taking the bins out or, you know, putting a wash on.
Yeah.
But it's in those moments in your life, like when you're working, when you're actually doing something, I would say none of us feel that feeling when we're actually in it. But it's when we're, you know, sat on the sofa eating Cheerios out of a mug that we're like,
I really agree with that so much. Like, with the you know, because I've had this a little bit with my riding career. Like, so obviously there have been a lot of people that were hugely successful when I was younger, and because of how the sport is, like, I was competing against them, and I kind of got to know them. Numerous people, like, who some of them have retired now, but like. And I always remember thinking, wow, God, those guys are so amazing, and they've won so much, and this is incredible. And having then got to kind of know them a little bit, or competed alongside them, or maybe not got to know them, whatever, I've suddenly actually realised that there are some of them that, yes, absolutely, you are incredible, and I have so much respect for you. And there are some that I'm like, actually, do you know what? You're really quite sad, as in like sad as a person, as in within yourself. Like you've been so successful, that doesn't actually mean that you're happy. And there are, and I'm not going to be naming names because that's not fair, but like there's more than one that I've thought, well, actually, God, what I used to think put you on this pedestal as this incredibly successful person, but actually, you're not very happy. And for me, I suppose that kind of to me means that happiness is success, like being happy with your lot and happy with how you are as a human and all that kind of stuff. I think that's really, really important, like personally.
Making a damn green run without crying. That's my level of success at the moment.
It's funny you say that. So again, I don't want to say names because I don't want to lynch myself I don't want to embarrass people really. But there are two performers that I've known of for years that are incredible, who I would say I would want to be like. And I met someone else recently in an event in November who performs alongside them. And this lady said that she was at an event where both these performers were on stage, one after another. And it didn't really matter how well those people's horses went. They were only happy if they got more applause than the other. And you're like, you're chasing the wrong thing there. Like you have to be going, you know, you've got to be doing this because you love it. It doesn't matter if you're doing what I do or if you're like eventing or jumping or dressage or whatever it is. If your success, because as well, you could have your best round in the world or it could be your worst round. You could have the best round in the world and other people did better, so you didn't win that day. Or you could have the worst round of your life, but everybody else rode like crap, so you still won.
Yeah.
And there's got to be more pride and honour in doing your best and coming fifth or 10th or whatever, 30th, than there is in riding like crap, but everybody else messed up, so you won.
And I think that's where this sport is. A, so brutal because you've got an animal into it. So it's so brutal because on paper, it's never black and white. So you could say, for example, Simon, you could take out Bertie on his first, first five star even. Do you know what I mean? We're looking big here. And you could come last, but you could be like, do you know what? We went at 2 miles an hour, but he jumped everything how I asked him and he's fucking brilliant. And I am so happy. For you, that's your success. But on paper, to the public, it looks like you did shit because you came last. Do you know what I mean? So it is so brutal, this sport, because there's that level of understanding, isn't there, that you
I remember doing my Splash's first Burley, and I had a run out halfway around the Rolex, and I finished cross country, and I was absolutely beaming. I was like thrilled because the horse had gone really well, and it was really good. And then I went over to the interviewers, and there was Jenny Rudel, and she said to me, "Oh, Simon, wow, you're smiling, but how annoying! You ran out of the Rolex." And I was like, "Oh,
I'm pretty really sure I didn't say that."
I was actually quite pleased how it went, but it's right, like, because of course everyone's going to be thinking that, like, oh, you know, you ran out, and that's really, really annoying, and that means that you're not going to like get a better placing. But I was just so chuffed with how the horse had gone, and I was like, this is so exciting for the future. I'm sorry, just using you as an example.
Which era of Jenny was this? Was this like professional Jenny or skimpy crop top Jenny?
this was probably before I know you, Jenny. I don't think, did we know each other then? When you were, I wouldn't have thought we knew each other well, very no. well.
It no. would have been 2017.
Yeah, before baby Jenny, before I ate the old version of me. And but
I just love it when you post those old pictures and you're like, what was I thinking? And you're like interviewing people in the cross country in this like tiny.
Oh my God. Yeah, there's a picture of me and Carl Hester and I'm like, I knew he was gay. Why was I wearing such a tight top? It was always very good when I was trying to get the show jumpers to do an interview. Come on, let's face it. We can talk to him all about it because he has agreed to come on the podcast.
Yeah, I didn't know we were allowed to say that. I'm so excited about that. It's going to be really great.
I can't be asked with the secret thing. People tune in because he's coming on and we're going to his house to record it. I'm so excited. But just back to the success thing. Are we lucky in our sport then? Because you can come off that, and yes, the public persona might be, oh, that wasn't so great, but you know your horse did well and you have that. But if you're a tennis player, say, or other sport, or a Formula One car driver, I'm guessing when you come get beaten in that respect, like, do you still have that level of empathy we can have with a horse? Like, that horse tried really hard. That's still, like, do you know what, I'm not, Ben, you're the articulator in these things, but do you know what I mean? Like, you can win or lose in those sports, play good or bad.
Yeah, whereas I mean, it's such a different thing, isn't it? Like, because and we've said it before, but it's all about the journey. And sometimes the journey's slow, sometimes the journey's fast, sometimes the horse is on the journey with you, sometimes it's not. Whereas, like, when you're a tennis player, yes, it is a journey, but, like, you're not kind of, like, moulding this being into what you want it to be, or, like, you're not working with something else. And so, so there's a big difference.
Yeah.
We're never alone, are we?
No.
With horses, you're never
which I really like.
Yeah, you're never in that arena alone. And I think that makes a big, like, your mate's with you all the time. And I think that's like, sometimes even, I would say even the other way, sometimes if something goes wrong, I feel bad for the horse. Like, not as in, like, I've done anything bad to the horse, but, like, I'll mess up so the show goes slightly wrong. And then I'm like, oh, boys, I let you down.
Yeah.
Like, it's more that way. And then, like, even if things do go wrong, you still go back to the stable. Like, you can have the worst round in your life, the worst performance for me in my life, and when I get back to the stable, it's the horses who I failed with that I'll cry with.
Oh, don't, you make me cry.
That's such a difference, isn't it? Like, you know, no one's hugging a tennis racket or a football.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they might,
you know,
be a bit weird.
And I think that's something I think that's beautiful about our sport, because you're just with your mate. Like, I say this all the time, but just remember 5-year-old you who pointed out the window and was like, horses, we're still those people. And I think that's lovely.
Yeah, because I am going back to that badminton when it had gone wrong, and I saw my mum, and it was exactly the same kind of thing. Like, I went back into the stable and I was just like, I rode like an absolute idiot, and which I didn't. But in my head, I was like, you know, you rode like an absolute idiot and completely let my horse down. I completely let you down, Splash. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so rubbish. And I was being a wimp as well. And, you know, I was like so nervous beforehand. And, you know, that just must have affected my riding. Of course I was nervous. It's badminton, for God's sake. But then I took him off like a bit of a graze with my dog, actually. And I remember just thinking, oh, do you know what? He doesn't mind. Like, it's okay. He's my mate, and it's fine, and we can do another one. And so it is great to have that kind of support from them. And that sounds really wet, doesn't it? But
no, it doesn't. I'm literally, when Ben was just saying that, I was literally crying in, like, behind these glasses, because that's why I miss Finn so much. It's not about missing my horse, missing my mate. Like, that horse was genuinely my best friend. Like, and I think one of the reasons I've suddenly been hit with all this kind of hormonal shit, because I think he was leveling me out on a daily basis. I think I was always a bit nuts, and I would see him and he'd be my therapy. I don't need to meditate. I can't meditate. I couldn't sit still for 2 seconds. But when I was on that horse, I didn't think about anything else, and I could groom him for hours. I didn't even have to ride him. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's why when you started talking then, I was like, I really miss Finn, and I just want to go see my pony, and I just love him so much.
And I think that is where I take this opportunity as well to sort of, we see a lot of negativity towards a lot of top riders and stuff that seems to be fashionable at the moment. And I'm not saying we're not rehashing all of this crap again. Yeah, there's things wrong. Yeah, there's brilliant things as well. But, like, if you think how much you love your horse and the relationship you have with them, you know, if you just, and I'm not saying just as in it's lesser, as in your life with them is riding them at the yard and going for hacks in the countryside and stuff. Imagine how strong that bond would be if you traveled around the world with them. If that horse not only was your best friend, but also helped you build your lifestyle, go on these adventures, meet these people, you know, get these amazing opportunities. And it really baffles me when I see people try and point at top riders and be like, they don't love their horses. I'm like, okay, so how many first rosettes would you need to get before you stopped loving yours? Or how many pictures of you would have to get in Horse and Hound before you decided that your relationship with your horse was breaking down? Because that's just, I don't know how people make that mental gymnastic leap. Because it's this, like, my horses are my best friends, but they also, they've taken me around the world. They're the reason I'm on here with you guys talking to, you know, all the people listening to us. And I think it's that, like, don't assume that success comes with a lesser bond. I actually think a lot of the time it comes with an even stronger one.
Yeah. Oh, look at us getting all profound in the new year already. Simon's like, I'm really tired still, though.
I am really tired still, though. But you are right. But equally, there are people out there that are tough, and the horse is a kind of implement to be used to kind of, you know, to gain success. But I do think that's becoming less, though.
Yeah. And Simon, there's a word for them. They're called foul, degenerate arseholes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're being weeded out and they're being gotten rid of because we don't want to watch them ride. If you treat your horse like shit, we don't want to watch you win. Don't leave.
I've got a story. I won't name the rider because that would be very unprofessional. But we were at Royal Windsor and there was a rider won a class that was very unpopular with other riders, mainly because they are a bit of an arse, but also because this rider was mean to their horse. But anyway, this rider won a speed class at Royal Windsor. This was years and years ago, so no one will be able to work it out. Anyway, as he was doing his lap of honour, he took his hat off and was doing the cheer round, came past the exit funnel, and the horse went, fuck you, dropped his shoulder and slammed the rider into the crowd over the fence. Like, literally, the horse was, get off. You know when they drop their shoulder and kind of buck at the same time? And because he was in a light seat waving his hat around, and I'm not joking, everyone ran over. Like, I've never seen riders. I've stood next to Nick Skelton, and he was wetting himself laughing. Loads of people went to catch the horse, giving the horse a pat. Not one single rider went to make sure if he was okay. And it was just one of those moments where you go, do you know what? Actually, these guys do have each other's back. Like, I know there's a bad rap and stuff, but the bad ones do get weeded out by the others. And it was just one of those moments. And I think everyone knew, and there was stuff being done about it. They no longer compete at top level. So I think that says a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah. And it was just very, very interesting to watch. And Skelly was just like, yeah, that was deserved. Horse knew what he was doing there. And like laughing, I was like, yes, well done. And so I think the horses will get their own back one way or another.
One of my new favourite things I'm seeing on social media these days are videos of people who fall off competing and then get up and are like lovely to their horses.
Oh, there's one, isn't there, where a young rider comes off a chestnut.
Yeah.
And the horse stops at the fence. She goes over the head and she just stands up straight away and starts kissing the horse's nose.
Also, I think Amanda, who helped me, she mentioned about this, but the girl was still getting grief in the comments.
Oh, was she? Oh, I don't read comments. Yeah, it's the cutest thing.
Like, oh, that was your fault anyway, or something like that. But she was like, but she's been really nice. Like, when it happened, she's been really nice. She was like kissing the horse and stuff.
But we do make mistakes. We're not infallible. We're not going to ride perfectly. We just have to train our horses to kind of help us out occasionally, and like, you help me, I help you, and it's a pat and a cuddle along the way.
I was going to say vice versa as well. The horse isn't always going to go brilliantly, and we have to go, I rode like crap last weekend, you had a bad weekend this weekend, let's keep moving on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a partnership at the end of the day, isn't it? You know, and everyone always says that, but it's true.
Oh, totally. It is totally true, and you have to be forgiving. My main thing is whatever I've learned from Lucinda Green, who's coming on the pub pod. Lucinda is like, they can't answer the question if you don't ask it correctly. And I love that. Like, they cannot, if they're not answering it properly, have you asked it
correctly? I tell you what, she is going to come out with some real corkers, isn't she, on the pub pod?
I'm so excited. She messaged me, guys. I'm so excited. So Lucinda is just, Ben, you've not met Lucinda, have you yet?
I don't think so, or I might have done when I was much younger.
Oh mate, you'd remember.
No, I think like 11 or 12.
She's so glorious. She helps out on like a horse safari and goes on these horse safari and gets people to go on it. So she messaged
like posh
me.
People,
I sent
like
her.
Simon.
I know, right? When are you need to organise for a shut up and ride tour,
Simon,
to a horse safari?
Just
So she messaged me saying, because I sent her, I've booked her the hotel. Of course, I'm going to pay for Lucinda Green's hotel at the pub pod. So I sent her her hotel confirmation and all about the hotel. And she's like, darling, God, so spoilt. Absolutely amazing. If it helps, I don't eat breakfast. Someone else can have mine. I'm currently on horseback in Kenya. Book in your diary, Jan 2027, you're coming with me. And I was just like, that's a bucket list. Go on a horse safari with Lucinda Green. And she was like, could you get a babysitter if I can make it happen? I was like, I don't care if they have to fend for themselves. I'm coming on horse safari with you, Lucinda Green. Like, whatever it takes, I will sell a child. I will. That's how I will fund it.
The thing is, and you know that in December 2026, you'll be like, right, I've got everything's planned, everything's organised. Come on then. And you'd be like, oh, what about what? And you're like, you know, coming on a safari. And you'd have forgotten about it. But Lucinda would, she definitely wouldn't forget.
I know. And she is coming on the pub pod. She is the most glorious human. And she's thanking me for inviting her. I'm like, and telling me what good organisation I've done. I'm like, oh my God, you're just so lovely. Like, I just, yeah, can't get enough of her. Just amazing. And then our other guests on the pub pod are Austin O'Connor, who won Maryland 5-star and has been to the Olympics 4 times and is just an Irish hilarious legend. And then Richard Davison, who actually trains you, Simon, as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, I had just asked lessons with him today.
Who is very good fun, especially with a couple of drinks
in
him.
He's very excited about coming along and joining us, so this is great.
And then one of our most listened to podcasts, and she said she couldn't come, and she is now no longer show jumping in Aintree, so she can come, the wonderful Gemma Stevens. So, I mean, what a lineup. That is just ridiculous.
I think we're going to have a great time. It's going to be very, very entertaining.
Yes. And we've sold all the tickets already. So all done.
Really?
Yeah.
Sold out?
Yeah. Well, we didn't have very many to sell. It's very small.
We sold out. Oh my God. All 10 tickets. Woo!
No, I sold 12.
How much attention I paid for everything, doesn't it? I'm just like, oh, wow. Amazing.
That's a good team.
But I feel really bad. Do you know how many 17-year-olds have messaged asking if they can come? And I made it over 18.
Oh, I saw that. I was like, oh, Jenny, that is harsh.
Well,
harsh but fair.
I just don't want to be responsible for anyone drinking or doing. I'm trying to be a responsible adult. One person did message saying,
what happened to you?
I turn 18 2 days after the pub pod. Can I come? And yeah. I was like, well, I'll check with the venue to see what it is. And I am trying to work out if we've got an extra ticket and if the venue are okay with an under 18. And I was just like, you're far more responsible than I was at 17, so you're probably all right to come, because there's no way I would have told anyone. I'd have just bought a ticket and come.
Yeah, at 17, I'd have been like, I'm 25.
Yeah. Kids these days are far more responsible. So talking of messages from people over the festive period, can I read out a few? Because we've had some wonderful people message us, and I do like doing a bit of a shout-out. Someone sent us a poem. Did you guys read it?
A poem.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this without crying, so I will try.
God, she's nearly crying already.
Right, deep breaths. Shut up and ride poetry. A shout out to the pod creators. Well, to Jenny, let's be fair. You three make me smile and laugh and think putting your real selves out there. A shout out to the guests who speak, both the sponsors and the horsey, who give me all the cheeky chat, the funny and the saucy. A shout out to the social buffs who are on Insta and the Tube, who comment and join in the laughs and can cope with folk who are rude. A shout out to the amateur champs who strive and love competing and take joy in bringing on a horse who will never be world beating. A shout out to the happy hackers who've no ribbons but love to spend their time in the company of a loyal four-legged friend. A shout out to the adult horse dreamers, horse-loving kids now fully grown. This is the bit that gets me. Who've begged and borrowed, but still never have had a horse to call their own. I could keep shouting out to you because from this pod I see that out there in the world somewhere are horsey folk like me. God, stop crying.
That is amazing.
Who are tired of all the secrecy, the us versus them and hate, and who are thus versus them and hate, who appreciate the openness of honest and frank debate. So whatever your discipline and whatever your view and mind, I'll try and stand in your shoes and always I'll be kind. There is more that unites us than divides us. The uniter here, of course, is a shared passion for this animal, the incredible, mighty horse.
It's so good.
Someone wrote that about our podcast.
Move over, Ode to the Horse. Horse of the Year show can have a new poem read out at it. Come on, that was amazing.
Isn't it so good? I'm sorry I didn't do it justice because it just makes me well up.
No, you read that beautifully.
Will you send that to me?
Yeah, I'll put it on the group chat.
And the person who did it as well.
Oh, I need to read out their name. Sorry. Talk amongst yourselves for a second about how wonderful it is, because it was from a lady, B&H. I saved it, but I forgot to save her name. But yeah, how amazing
is that?
What's B&H? That's her name. B&H. Wait there.
Benson
B&H.
Angels.
Isn't that cigarettes?
Yeah.
B&H Gold.
I used to smoke those.
On the college bus.
So naughty.
B&H. Was that actually a brand?
Benson and Hedges.
Well, there you go.
Did we
B&H.
Just say that at the same time?
Yeah. Jinx. Winning.
You're all chavs. I was a Marlboro Light smoker.
Yeah, it was a mixture of two for me.
Okay, sorry. It is written by a lovely lady called Brenda Hall. She said, I love this podcast so much. I knew of you all from YouTube, but my gosh, you make me laugh. You all seem just genuinely good folk with just the right amount of insanity for me to feel at home.
I think she's amazing.
She's done an incredible job. Well done, Brenda.
Yes, yeah, thank you very beautiful. Much, Brenda. But yeah, I just think that's such a nice thing to say. This was another one of my favourite messages from Rebecca. So I'm listening to the latest pod in Australia under my umbrella on the beach with my ear pods in. So many roads travelled in this one. I smiled, I belly laughed, I gasped, I put my hand over my mouth. So glad you and your wife are okay, Ben. I cried a bit with Jenny, also felt hormonal with Jenny, and laughed some more on my own on Christmas Day. No way, I wasn't alone, I was with you guys. Thank you for making my Christmas Day. The lady under the umbrella next to me thinks I'm a loony.
Oh.
These are the messages we get. This is why I'm always crying.
It's so nice, isn't it?
It is. It's so nice.
When I arrive at the yard on a morning, I have to listen to all of our voices because my dad's out there before me because he lives at the farm. And as I walk onto the yard, he always has Shut Up and Ride blaring out as he's mucking out. He listens to the episodes like repeatedly. I think he's listened to the Christmas one like 5 times.
Oh,
he just loves
that's
it.
So cool. Hi, Dad.
Hi. Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Good old Mr. A.
Oh, you know how I feel about Mark. We need to get Mark on here because he has got some fantastic stories. He really does.
We could get Mr. A on.
I think we should. So what I want to know, because we're nearly at an hour, what did you get for Christmas, boys? Simon's laughing. Oh, God, is there a story here?
No. Well, not a lot, really.
Oh, no. Some sleep, at least.
I got lots of really nice things like chocolate and champagne and gin bottles from lots of clients who were lovely. But yeah, nothing particularly exciting. I got a really lovely picture from James of splash jumping the Vicarage via Babington. Which is in a big box thing with the plaques in it. But I still haven't got it yet.
Oh, okay. It's TBC.
He just told me about it. But, I mean, that sounds really nice. So, yeah.
Simon, if that's not a lot, what would a lot be?
I know.
Like, a car? An Earthly Supreme 2 stroller?
Like an insight.
But I actually haven't got that yet.
Oh, all right. Ooh, just got your gin and gin in your champagne.
The champagne. No, yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm very, 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 very grateful. Very, very grateful. Lovely, lovely
Sounds
clients.
Like you're not, to be completely honest. I think we're seeing a dark side of Simon. Mr. Nice Guy here. Mr. Spoilt Brat Guy. I just got some chocolate and champagne. Oh, we didn't give him anything, Ben. Careful, he might not talk to us. Benjamin, what did you get?
My dad got me a horse.
Bloody hell. Oh, there you go.
What? Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Mark, where's my pony?
He got me a 3-year-old Frisian cross Andalusian gelding. So
can you send us photos?
I will do. His name is Hugo.
Hugo.
But I might give him something. I know you're not meant to change horses' names, but I do quite a lot. I might give him something a bit more spicy.
What colour is he? What flavour?
Jet black.
Oh my Jet God, black. Call him Rupert Campbell Black.
Rupert Campbell, oh my, that would be hilarious.
Oh my God,
we do the horses on Rivals as well.
Yes, call him Rupert. Rupert Campbell Black. But, not only a step away from Hugo.
I must be a little bit honest about this. Dad was like, I got you this for Christmas. And they're called Warlanders. Andalusian cross Frisian. People call them Warlanders. I don't know why, because it's not a breed. It's a cross, but whatever. And my dad showed me him and I was really excited and he was lovely. And then my mum was like, yeah, your dad really liked that colt and I wouldn't let him buy it. So that's why you've got it for Christmas.
Oh, poor Jill.
So, yeah. And then I, yeah, George got me some lovely Fairfax boots.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And then lots of like bath salts and bubble bath and stuff, because I just, baths are my thing. I'm a big bath person. Yeah. What did you get, Jenny?
I got some snowshoes because I can't hike in the winter. So I've got some big fancy snowshoes for going snowshoeing, which is really cool. It's really good exercise as well. I've got them on actually. My kids got me. I'm a bit obsessed with capybaras. I just think they're the, you know, I don't know. They're like the funniest, friendliest animals. So I got capybara slippers.
Oh my goodness.
Aren't they amazing?
That is cute.
They are incredible.
Capybara. Anyone who's on Instagram knows what I'm singing there. They are literally, I love them. And I chase the dogs with them, which is really funny. What else did I get? This is going to sound really random, but my husband got me, as well as snowshoes. I love Lululemon pants, but I can't afford them. Knickers, not trousers, because pants over here is trousers. So he got me a voucher for Lululemon, which was just enough to buy 3 pairs of Lululemon pants, which makes me really happy. Because they're the only ones you can ride and hike in, and they don't go up like you're flossing.
yeah, me and Simon know all about that.
But I got the kids, I think, I got the kids guinea pigs. So that has been like the main excitement in our house.
Did you get them guinea pigs? Because guinea pigs are basically teacup capybaras.
Maybe, possibly. I hadn't actually thought about that then.
Because they are, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, because capybaras are the biggest of the rodents. So they're like giant guinea pigs. Yeah.
So are the kids looking after them, or are you looking after them?
They're helping. Delilah's quite small for trying to get the cage and stuff. So we have like that. They're going to completely clean them out at the weekends when they have time. But in the morning before school, they get them out and they feed them their lettuce and everything. And they do the food part and I do the poo and the wee. But at the weekends when they have more time, they'll do the poo and the wee.
Jenny, we don't need to know your bathroom habits.
Oh, sorry. So there was quite a traumatic story behind the guinea pigs, where I basically had some rescue pigs lined up on the Friday before Christmas. And the woman rang me to say she had to leave her husband, which was like, okay. And then she went back to get the pigs, and the husband had got rid of the guinea pigs that we were meant to be getting. I don't know what that meant. I didn't like to ask. So I then, the weekend before Christmas, had to be on a panic pig hunt. I basically found some online, went to the equivalent of the RSPCA centre near to us, and walked in the moment it opened on the Sunday before Christmas, and went, please tell me you can help me out with the Christmas miracle, and these 2 guinea pigs on your website are still available. And luckily, the Bullet and Petunia, as they were called, these rescue pigs, I really wanted to rescue some, but we've changed their names. Delilah has named her Susan Pigginsby, after Susan on The Chronicles of Narnia. Mm-hmm. And then James's guinea pig identifies as a boy and is known as Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
So I like that name. That's good. That's a good one. Chewy.
Susan and Chewy, and I've created a whole piggy palace, and yeah, it's much excitement.
That's incredible.
Yeah. This is parenting for you.
One of my favourite things that happened with our family over Christmas is my sister-in-law has a my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law have a little 2-year-old little girl.
This is the one you have to look after on occasion.
Yeah, well, we did. And that's what made me and George thought we were ready for children, and then realised that actually looking after them is a lot. But they got her a little, she's been riding ponies and stuff. So then a friend was getting rid of a Shetland. So they thought, oh, well, we'll like take the Shetland on and she can ride it for a bit. So that was her Christmas present. And the Shetland is the tiniest, tiny Shetland, and he is made purely of fluff. He is like he is a blonde afro with hooves. And so they open the stable door and are like, oh, do you see him? Look. And one of the big horses that they have at their home is called B. And so all horses are called B. And so they're like, look, is this a bee? And she's like, no, what is it? And then they're like, it's a pony. And she's like, no, it's so fluffy. It's not a pony. And it took them ages to convince her that this Shetland was a horse. Because
it was actually real.
Well, because they breed like 17 hand dressage warm bloods. So she's like, no, that is a horse. This is a fluffy thing that's not a horse. So then eventually they got all the little pink grooming kit out and stuff, and they got her some little yard tools as well. So then they're like, would you like to groom the Shetland? Well, she did about one stroke with a brush, then saw the tiny pink water bucket and was like, he needs water. And then just continued to play filling up the water bucket with her small bucket for the rest of the day and didn't go near the Shetland. So maybe 2 years old is a bit early for your first horse.
How to shit on the video they wanted to make for Instagram. You're going to film the video and the kid's going to be overwhelmed.
You're so correct. My sister-in-law's, they're like, come on, groom the Shetland. Come on. George is videoing like, I don't think she's going to groom her pip. No, she is. Come on, groom. Lossie, come and groom the pony for Instagram.
I love it. It's like when you buy them a really cool present and they play with a box. It's like, no. No, yeah. Luckily my kids are of an age where the guinea pigs have gone down incredibly well. And Delilah, all she wants to do is hold Susan. Susan's not quite up for being held. She's like, Mummy, when can Susan sleep in my bed? Mummy, they want to buy them harnesses. There is so much in this country that can kill a guinea pig. Right? No, we are not. Bald eagles will come down and eat them.
Are they quite generically coloured guinea pigs?
No. I sent you a video of them, shows that you don't watch. One is like a kind of grey, blacky colour with a really funky hairstyle. That's Chewy. And Susan is like tricoloured. She's like black.
Was this something that you decided? Or did you have a discussion with the kids beforehand about what they wanted? Or did you just think, this is a really cool idea, let's do that?
Well, they wanted an animal. I've always had pet rats, guinea pigs, hamsters, gerbils and everything when I was a kid. Oh, love pet rats. They're amazing. And of all of I had, Elvis Pigsley was by far the most superior. So I said, a guinea pig was my favourite when I was little, bar the cats and dogs. So then they got it in their heads they wanted guinea pigs. And Gregor was like, absolutely not. We have enough animals in our house. Gregor's Valentine message to me every year is, roses are red, violets are blue. Since I've met you, I've picked up lots of poo. So he really doesn't need any more animals in his life, but I kind of sowed the seed.
I love that. I sowed the seed with the kids, so he had no say. So it's 3-1.
Yeah. I'm a little bit in love. But yeah, James is 7 and he wanted a guinea pig over an iPad. I take that as winning at life.
Yes.
That, Jenny Rudel, is success.
Yes. Thank you very much. Anyway, that's a lot of chat about guinea pigs. What has annoyed you guys over the Christmas period? I feel like we need to do a what has annoyed you this week. Someone's even messaged to say one of their friends has a company. Then she's going to send more details because they want to sponsor the what's annoyed us this week feature.
Yes, that is amazing.
I love it. So I said, yes, please do get in touch. That'd be excellent. Simon, you go first. Go on. What's annoyed you?
Myself. on the regular, it's not just one thing. There's lots of things that are very annoying about me. I think the not being able to say no thing and completely overdoing my schedule. But so me, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. You don't annoy us.
Oh, thanks, mate.
You could never annoy me. Well,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's true. Awkward silence.
Yeah.
La, 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 la.
Tumbleweed.
Everybody annoys Jenny. That's it. If you make content of any form, Jenny hates it.
That is not true. I actually said to Simon, I was actually watching one of the masterclasses he filmed once back because I really liked it and I wanted to do the exercise. I've been very encouraging about his YouTube channel.
You haven't watched it. Surprisingly so. I'm very grateful for the encouragement.
There you go. See? Shut up, Ben. Just because you're an asshole doesn't mean I have to go.
Although he still does say things like, oh, whenever I put you on Instagram and you're going, oh, hi, guys, I just flick on.
Oh, no, but I didn't. I actually stayed on one of your... The reason was I had the story going and I normally, when you go, hi, guys, I normally do swipe. But I was on the loo, so I left it running and could hear you. And then you told a really funny story about someone getting in the wrong car at a petrol station.
Yesterday. Yesterday? Day before yesterday.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, maybe I do need to listen to his stories more because that one was really funny.
I mean, the poor guy, he was clearly absolutely knackered. It was like, I think he was a painter or something like that. And it was like, I don't know, 7 in the morning, and he got his coffee and I got the girls some breakfast, and I like followed him out, and he went to this car, opened the door, got in, and then stopped and then got back out of the car, then walked the car behind that car and opened the door, looked at me and like rolled his eyes, and he was like, and I was like, wrong car, and he was like, yeah. And what's really funny is actually I've had about 6 or 7 people message me saying, oh my god, I've done that
before. No. I've not got in it, but I've like tried to open the wrong car, like what am I doing, just because it was grey.
But it kind of made my morning again. I was like, I'm really tired. That's funny.
Did you tell him how tired you were, just for some sympathy?
Of course I tell everyone. No, I didn't.
What about you, Benji? What's annoyed you?
What's annoyed me? I don't know. I've not had a very annoyed Christmas, I don't think.
Being
apart
sick.
From all the basic stuff. Yeah, being sick, everything being
this
frozen.
This is the difference. Ben's not really sure. Jenny has literally... We're going to be here for a while.
Jenny's
got a list.
List. Oh, got a list. I did actually think, after how nice I've been to him over this podcast, I did think that our family was going to lynch my dad on Christmas Day. Because he is obsessed. His favourite part of Christmas Day is setting fire to the Christmas pudding. And, like, no one was ready for pudding. No one wanted pudding. So he set fire to the pudding and brought it through. And my mum was just like, no, it's not time. You're ruining my schedule. Take it back out. So then he removes the Christmas pudding. Then, like, 10 minutes later, mum's like, right, Ma, it is time. You can, you know, time to do the thing, like the pudding. And it would not light. So then this ended up with me, my dad and George doing everything we could to light this Christmas pudding. We ran out of matches. Then my mum had these decorative matches. Turns out decorative matches, bullshit. They're useless. So we couldn't get them to light. We ended up having to light the Christmas pudding we have open fires in the house, like in the living room and stuff. So I got a big bit of kindling and was like sticking it in the coals to get it fire. So then I like dad was heating the is it rum or brandy or whatever it is,
brandy, I think,
in a
yeah.
ladle over one fire in one room, and I was getting my flaming torch ready in another room, and then we had to like run through the house and meet in the middle to set fire to it, and then no one even ate any bloody Christmas pudding. That was that doesn't sound very stressful, but I promise you, on Christmas Day. That was quite the drama in the Atkinson household. We are fascinating people. Yeah.
It's amazing. But the problem is I've got quite a good visual of now of this all happening. So I've quite enjoyed that. Thank you very much.
Well,
it's a good
the
Christmas
real
hit.
Problem is that we kept trying to light it and pouring alcohol onto the pudding and it wasn't lighting. So by the time we did get it lit, not only did it nearly take Grandma's eyebrows off, no one could blummin' eat the thing because it was like absinthe pudding because it had so much alcohol on it. But yeah.
Oh my
Jenny,
God.
Jenny, what's annoyed you?
Age.
The fact that your children can't pay taxes and cook Christmas dinner for you yet.
That? Fuck, I've got to do my tax return. That's going to have annoyed me next week. So... I got the kids Nerf guns for Christmas.
Amazing.
And I got Gregor one as well for his Christmas present, which is great fun. And they had like an old one that I used.
Did you get one for yourself at the same time?
No, I used one. James got given one. So that's where they got the Nerf gun obsession. But I make them wear goggles. I'm like, if you're not wearing a goggle, you're not allowed to pick that up because we've been told 2 stories about people being blinded by Nerf guns. So
what?
Yeah, one was at a kid at a birthday party. The birthday boy himself got shot in the eye, blinded. And we were telling this story to some English friends of ours who live 2 doors down. They were like, yeah, my dad shot my grandma at Christmas in the face and she lost the sight in one eye from a Nerf gun.
No.
Yeah, so I'm like so strict on the goggles. Anyway, it's really good fun. So we're all goggled up. Delilah's in pink sunglasses. And I know the kids are in the bedroom. As you go into our bedroom and you turn immediately left and left again, that takes you into the bathroom. James is in the daddy. Oh my God, that was weird. Gregor was in the...
Well, you don't, whatever you call him in your bedroom normally, we don't need to hear.
Gregor was in there. James was the other side of the bed and Delilah was hiding as well. And I was like, my only way to attack is to commando roll and drop down to the other side of the bed. and I had it planned. And as I executed said duck and roll move, I just heard my back go crack. I was like, you're fucking kidding me. So yeah, Christmas, I was like, I got up from it going, oh no, oh no. And everyone's there firing Nerf gun pellets at me. I'm like, I've just cracked my back. So I spent most of Christmas Day and Boxing Day and the day after in absolute bloody agony and taking codeine because I'd done an incredibly bad commando roll. And I actually heard it go crunch. And I messaged my physio going, are you working over New Year? I may have a Nerf gun commando roll incident. And his response was, well, it's delighted that I've managed to fix you to a point that you feel well enough to do a commando role. Like, oh, good, thanks.
I actually think that this is a bit of a white lie. I think Jenny just needed an excuse to take codeine over Christmas to get through it.
Tramadol, everything. Yeah,
I feel bad now. I didn't know Nerf guns were dangerous because when me and George go and visit our friends in America, we stay there for like a month, and on the last day we always try and get the kids presents because the kids are always really sad when we leave.
Yeah,
and we bought them loads of Nerf guns and loads of Nerf bullets.
Yeah, but they're really fun though, aren't they?
They are really fun.
But until someone's blind.
That's a good present.
It's a good present. You should maybe just bought them goggles as well. Or send them the link to the ones you can buy in Walmart. But I got Gregor like this massive one. The kids have got these Sonic the Hedgehog ones. And I got him this massive one. And I think I shared it on Instagram. There's a video of Gregor going up the stairs. And all you can hear is James going, help, help. And Gregor going, ha, 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 ha. And like firing at James. It is so much fun.
Poor James.
I know. Help, help. But yeah, they're bloody painful if they hit you just in the right place. But yeah, it is. They are very good fun. We'll have to have a Nerf gun war around the hotel or something. And then I've gotten another what's annoyed you, but it's not come from me. It's come from my friend Jennifer, who has commented on our podcast before. I think she gave us some suggestions on how to make it better. But also I want to say happy 40th to her. It's her 40th birthday. But she said, she's like, Jenny, I've got a what's annoyed you this week. So she competes, her little kid does like the 70 centimeters on her pony up north. And there's quite a few famous riders whose kids compete in these little, they're non-affiliated. She's like, why are they not doing the affiliated? Why are they in the unaffiliated classes? And what annoys her is the kids of the famous riders, but one main rider who I will tell you off this afterwards, always jumps the queue. And even crashed into her daughter on a pony the other day and didn't apologise. And she says, kids, and she was like, what's annoyed me is children of entitled show jumpers. So,
do you think that's entitlement or do you think possibly the child is maybe overhorsed?
Well, I think the mum letting them just barging in and queue skipping is entitled.
Well, how do you queue skip?
Jumping. So you put
I've
numbers
not jumped for years.
So you put your name down. And like, so there's a list and you put your name down and that's when you go. You go over to the board and you say,
and they just walk over and say like, my dad is so-and-so or my mum is so-and-so.
But the stewards know them. So they know who they are and they go, yeah, no, we're going now and just queue barge.
Oh dear. Yeah, that doesn't go down very well.
No. And I think the stewards are all like, oh, okay, your dad's famous. So, okay, you can go. And I said that that's a little bit kind of maybe some of the problem of where it starts because we were talking about how stewards and don't have the support authority. And encouragement authority to stop when a welfare issue happens, and like this needs to be stopped at the younger levels. So they need to be able to turn around and go, no, wait your turn, don't care who your dad is.
My childhood jumping was not like that. My dad was time scarce enough that he used to try and get me entered as early as possible, especially if there were going to be a lot of people. Because then, like, if he saw that there was going to be, like, a lot of people in the jump off that were better than me, then sometimes he'd be like, come on. Like, he'd like me in early, because then if I could get, like, a pole or something, and then there was, like, five clears, he'd be like, yeah, we can go, can't we? Like, you're done.
Like, let's go home now.
There's horses to ride at home.
my favorite is, well, not favorite, but I prefer it when like FEI and lots of show jumping shows now as well, you have a time and it's your set time and it's tough, you go at that time or you don't go. If you miss it, you don't go, and if you're too early, well, you have to wait. And I think that's really good personally. I know a lot of like multiple horse riders don't like that, and but the times are set so you can do it.
Yeah, that seems sensible, because then at least you know when to warm up for, you know, like, you can have everything.
Yeah, you can. The thing that frustrates me the most is when you've got, like, especially like at the lower levels, and you've got like professionals with their multiple horses, and they, like, especially like the cross country warm up, they go down and they go, oh, I've got like four in it. So then they push them in and they go in front of like someone that maybe is on one horse that, like, this is like the biggest thing that they're going to do all year, and they're absolutely crapping themselves. And then they're told, oh, sorry, you're going to have to wait because this one's going to go in front of you. Like, and I always kind of think, imagine if that top rider, whoever it may be, was just preparing to go around badminton, and then someone said, oh, sorry, hang on a second, you're going to have to wait because someone needs to go in front of you. How would that go down with them? It would not go down well. And it's basically this similar kind of thing. So I much prefer it when it's times.
Yeah, I agree.
Sportsmanship.
Yeah.
And I know there are races, we're talking 9 and 10 year olds. Do you know what I mean? Like 8, 9 and 10 year old kids. But I feel you can set an example early on.
I mean, going back to what I was saying, don't get me wrong, sometimes when you are a multiple horse rider, sometimes it's really, like, you've got to get on and you have got to push in, because otherwise the whole event's going to run late, and then you're going to get in trouble, the event's going to get in trouble, and it's going to be a nightmare. So, but there just has to be a happy medium, there has to be you have to find a happy ground.
And I also think it's a way of doing stuff, isn't it? If you're, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're like, oh my God, we have to get home with this pony in like the next 10 minutes. I've totally messed up my timings. Do you mind if we jump in ahead of you? Or I've just realized I've messed up and I've got another horse to ride. Most people will go, oh yeah, you don't go for it. I would. But I think if you just walk past and don't say anything and just go, no, I'm going now, that's just rude. It's just manners.
I think our worst moments are when we know that speaking to someone personally like that would fix a problem, but we're so anxious or nervous or embarrassed about what we're doing that we kind of like keep our head down and don't do things. You know, I know I've done it before. You see people do it and you're like, actually, by going up and saying, look, I've messed up, this has happened, is there any chance someone could help me out? That, you know, there's not actually any shame in that. It makes it a better...
I do that when I make a mistake driving. So if I've pulled out in front of someone or done something wrong and that person's like swearing at me and I go, sorry, I do a big smiley wave because they're expecting me to swear back and they're kind of almost taken shock by it and kind of like forced into then smiling. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, power of gesture and looking like a dumb blonde. Anyway, Simon.
I remember trying to be nice, like in a cross-country warm-up once. I had four horses and it was in the B100 and I had four horses in it and I went down and I was like, oh, hi, yeah, so can I put my number down? She says, oh, you've got 15. And I was like, oh, I've got three more after this one. Is there any chance I can maybe go a little bit earlier? She said, no, you've got 15. I was like, well, can I put my numbers down for the others as well? And she's like, no, just come back to me with the next one and I'll fit you in. And I was like, okay, cool. So waited. Sorry, this is a long-winded, boring story. Waited. Went off on that one, went back, got the next one, came back. And I said, oh, how many have I got? She said, you got 10. I was like, I've got like two more after this. So can I not go a bit earlier? She said, no, you can't go any earlier. Anyway, so then I went around on that one and there was just me left to compete. And they were changing the course. I had two more to take and everyone else in that section had finished because she wouldn't let me push in. And I got in so much trouble. And the commentator, even as I was going around on my third horse, said, this is really disrespectful to the event that Simon is so late. And,
organisers should know that. When you entered, they saw your name near four horses.
But this lady on the gate, she just would not let me go. And I came down on the last horse and one of the stewards came over basically to kind of tell me off. And I was like, oh, look, I did actually ask whether I could go early because I knew that I had four in it and she wouldn't let me. And the lady was like, no, he didn't ask that. And, but thankfully, there was a lady who'd been there the whole time. She said, actually, I'm really sorry, but I need to actually interrupt. He did. I was here.
Oh, and good I was like, for
oh,
her.
Thank you. I love you.
Good for her for sticking up for you.
But that's where it can go wrong. And that's where being polite sometimes doesn't really help.
I can't imagine you not being polite, Simon.
Be polite all the time, but sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to be forthright, don't you?
Manners cost nothing.
Absolutely. Sorry, right. That was a very long-winded story.
It was a long-winded story, but I enjoyed it. Right, we've been going for an hour and 20 minutes and I've got edited this. Goals for the new year, apart from the pub pod. Any good goals? Anything you're planning this year? Apart from having a baby, I suppose, Ben. That's it, isn't it, really?
Yeah, having the baby and baby human, and I've got lots of baby horses that I want to bring on, and I've got a bit of a, not a rescue, rescue is the wrong word for him, but like a horse that was, I saved, that was in a bit of a predicament, needed a home, and he's a 4-year-old unhandled stallion. Well, he was up until today, so we've spent a couple of months handling him, and today we got him gelded and got his feet done for the first time. And so sort of like, yeah, with those horses, not even got big plans about where they're going to go. Like this guy, it takes a lot to be able to stroke him at the moment. Do you know what I mean?
He's so a bit just feral.
You're very feral.
Sounds like me.
So it's just a little bit of like a journey with that. Baby horses, see how far they can get this year. Not that I've got a goal. You know, I'm messing wording this up, but you know what I mean? Just enjoy. It's a year for babies with me. Baby horses, a baby human. Yeah. That's it.
It's a baby year. Yay!
Yay! Which means I'll be a gibbering wreck with my riding by the end of the year. Because yeah. You ride enough babies and you're like, oh!
This is where we've contacted Charles Owen and he's like, you know that hat you sent me? Can you send me some back protectors? And I'm just changing up my show. I think I need a back protector as well. Can you sew it into a costume?
Charles Owen, do you need elbow and knee pads?
What about you, Simi? What's the goal for this year?
The goal for this year is similar to last year. I just want to have a nice time, enjoy myself and enjoy the horses and hopefully have a great time.
And become a YouTube sensation.
And become a YouTube sensation, absolutely, of course.
Yes, make sure you go and tune into Simon's. What's your page called?
It's Simon Grieve Event Team.
Event Team. Amazing.
Event
nice.
Team. Yeah, nice. On YouTube.
I think we need to ask Simon again after at the start of February when he's got through his colossal January of yeah. Simon's Yes Man January after that.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a fuck off February.
Yeah. Stay at fucking home, Feb.
It's all going to be good. It's all going to be good. I'm feeling positive about it now.
You've got lots of content for the YouTube channel.
Yeah. Exactly.
What about you, Jenny? What's your goal?
Make this podcast and see where we can take it. Because we've had, I mean, even here, there was a message, which was really sweet. Oh, God, so many messages. Can you come and do a pub pod in Australia? Us Brits down here would love it. And I don't think I've seen a corgi here, although there's plenty of other animals that bite. So I would love to maybe take us on tour. And I'd like, the dream would be organising something where Simon does a bit of a clinic, Ben, you do a bit of a clinic, and then we do a pub pod type thing in the evening. So I don't know. Who knows? If people think that's a good idea, let us know. But yeah, see what we can do.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And just kind of, I say it all the time on this, but the messages we get, I mean, there's too many to read out and lots make me cry. Like even we had a horse transport person message, AB Equine Transport. There you go. A small business shout out. And like they just said that they love the fact that thank you for the shout out to Rider's Mind in the Christmas podcast, actually volunteering for them, picking up calls and messages. So it's great to hear about it being spoken about. I also run a horse transport business. So thank you for keeping me company on my journeys around the country. Anita from AB Equine Transport. So if you need equine transport, go to her. But just things like that, like the fact that we're keeping people like going.
Yeah. Oh, I also just think when like just that last little story, I'm like, that's exactly the sort of person you want transporting your horse, isn't it? Someone that's like volunteering to help people that are going through stuff. You're like, yeah, you're going to look after my horse when you're trekking about with them.
But we had a lovely woman say thank you for the spinal research shout out as well, because her husband's in a wheelchair. And then she also suffers very similar to me with hormone problems and had a hysterectomy and stuff, and wrote this massive long message. I couldn't find it. I'll find it again and we'll do some more shout outs. But just people like that who just, we're like highlighting these amazing causes, and like I feel like we're doing a little something to maybe make people feel heard or supported in any way. So send in your messages, guys. We love it.
Shut up and ride. We're more than just horses.
I know, right? What have we covered today in the podcast? We covered baby birth. Although if anyone's still listening at this point, well done you. You are the hardcore fans. Right. I love you both. Happy New
love
Year.
You.
Simon
Happy
is
Happy New Year to you too.
Simon Happy was looking off into the distance. James is home.
James has just got home.
Oh, hi James.
Hello.
right. I will see you in a week and a half. And Ben and Simon will meet for the first time, people.
I know. God, isn't that that's exciting, isn't it?
I can't wait. It's going to be really fun. We're going to drive Jenny mad.
Oh, God. Right. Well, on that wonderful note, boys, Happy New Year. And here's to 2025 and all the exciting things it will bring. But Ben, you got to sing us out now. Shut up and ride.
Shut up and ride, 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 ride. Shut up and ride, ride.
That was very, very good. You're very gifted.
He is gifted. Aww.
Oh.